Welcome to our deep dive on Florence Nightingale. You might know her as the lady with the lamp, but get ready for some surprises.
Okay.
We're going way beyond that iconic image today.
Right.
We've got excerpts from a biography here.
Okay.
Florence Nightingale, the lamp that lit the way to modern nursing. And it's packed with fascinating details.
It's amazing how a single image can overshadow a person's entire life story.
Yeah.
This deep dive is all about uncovering the complexities of Nightingale's legacy and understanding her impact not just on nursing, but on the world.
Okay, so let's rewind a bit.
Okay.
Florence Nightingale is born in Florence, Italy.
Right.
Kind of poetic,
Right.
right?
Yeah.
In 1820. Privileged background, well-educated, not exactly the typical path to becoming a revolutionary figure in nursing, is it?
Not at all. In fact, it was quite the opposite of what was expected of a young woman in her social circle. But even at 17, Nightingale felt this undeniable call to care for the sick and suffering.
A call from God, the biography said.
Yeah.
That must have thrown her family for a loop. I mean, can you imagine having that conversation with your parents in the 1800s?
Right.
Mom, Dad, I think I meant to be a nurse. What do you think their reaction was?
Well, you can imagine the societal pressures at play.
Yeah.
They likely envisioned a life of high society for their daughter that balls advantageous marriages the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
So Nightingale's insistence on visiting hospitals, even secretly at first, must have been a major point of contention.
I bet sneaking off to hospitals, that's some serious dedication, especially considering the era.
Yeah.
It really speaks to her determination to learn, even when society was telling her no. But eventually, she does convince her father to let her train in Germany.
Wow.
What a huge win.
It's a testament to her strength of will. And keep in mind, this training wasn't just about bedside care. Nightingale was a brilliant mind drawn to understanding the systems and structures behind healthcare.
So she wasn't just learning how to bandage wounds, she was diving into the nitty-gritty of hospital administration. And that sets the stage for what she does next, becoming the superintendent of a women's hospital in London.
Right, and she doesn't just take the job, she excels at it. She implements new practices, focuses on hygiene, and actually manages to lower the mortality rates at the hospital.
Okay, so we've got a young woman who defies societal expectations,
Right.
sneaks off to hospitals, gets formal training, and then turns around and runs a successful hospital.
Right.
At this point, it feels like she's already had several lifetimes worth of achievements.
Yeah.
But then, of course, comes the Crimean War, and that's where things really take off.
Yes, the Crimean War is the turning point that catapults her into international fame. But I think what's important to understand is that this wasn't just a random act of heroism. It was a culmination of everything she had learned and experienced up to that point.
So set the scene for us. What were the conditions like in these war hospitals? I mean, I've heard the stories, but it's hard to grasp the reality.
Imagine, if you will, a hospital overflowing with wounded soldiers. But the real enemy isn't the wounds themselves, but the rampant diseases spreading like wildfire, cholera, typhus, dysentery.
Oh, wow.
The sanitation is appalling. Supplies are scarce. The death rate is astronomical. More soldiers dying from these diseases than from actual battle wounds.
It sounds absolutely horrific, and this is where Nightingale steps in.
Yeah.
She volunteers to lead a team of nurses to Scutari in modern-day Istanbul, knowing full well the dangers she's facing.
Right.
It's a decision that speaks volumes about her character.
Absolutely. She could have easily stayed in London, enjoying her success and relative comfort, but she chooses to go into a war zone driven by this unwavering belief in the power of proper care and sanitation.
And when they arrive in Scutari, it's even worse than they imagined, right?
The descriptions in the biography are chilling rats running rampant, overflowing latrines, a complete lack of basic supplies. Nightingale herself describes the hospital as a cesspool. It's a far cry from the orderly, efficient hospital she ran back in London.
Yeah.
But instead of being overwhelmed, Nightingale does what she does best. She takes action.
Okay, so she rolls up her sleeves and gets to work. But what does that look like? I mean, where do you even begin in a situation like that?
Well, she starts by focusing on the basics, cleaning organization, creating systems for everything from laundry to food distribution. Nightingale understood that chaos breeds disease, so her first priority is bringing order to the chaos.
So it's not just about treating the sick, but about creating an environment where healing can actually happen.
Exactly.
That's fascinating. But she didn't stop there, right? I mean, we've talked about her being a data whiz. How did that play into all of this?
That's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
Nightingale meticulously collected data on everything. Mortality rates, causes of death, the impact of different treatments.
Fine.
And this wasn't just anecdotal observation. She was crunching numbers, creating charts and graphs, basically inventing new ways to visualize the data she was collecting.
Hold on, we're talking about the 1850s here, right? No computers, no spreadsheets.
Right.
How was she doing all of this?
With pen and paper and an incredibly sharp mind, one of her most famous creations is the Coxcomb diagram. Imagine, if you will, a circular chart divided into wedges, like slices of a pie. Each wedge represents a different cause of death, and the size of the wedge corresponds to the number of deaths from that cause.
Okay, so it's like a visual representation of the data, making it easier to understand the big picture. But what made it so revolutionary?
The genius of the Coxcomb diagram is that it clearly showed the impact of preventable diseases. The wedges representing deaths from infectious diseases like typhus and cholera dwarfed the wedges representing deaths from wounds. It was a stark visual argument for the importance of sanitation and hygiene.
Wow. So she's not just collecting data. She's using it to make a point to advocate for change. It's like the infographic before infographics were even a thing. Did people actually listen to her? I mean, this is still a very male-dominated world.
They did, and that's a testament to both her data and her persuasive skills.
Yeah.
Nightingale presented her findings to government officials, used her connections to influence policy, and published reports that were widely read and debated. Her data-driven arguments were impossible to ignore.
And this leads to real tangible changes, right? Not just in the Crimean War hospitals, but beyond.
Exactly. Nightingale's work in Scutari became a model for hospital reform throughout Britain and beyond her emphasis on sanitation. Her meticulous record-keeping, her use of data to drive decision-making these became cornerstones of modern healthcare.
So we've got this incredible story, a woman who defied expectations, went into a war zone, saved countless lives, and then revolutionized healthcare with data. But there's more, isn't there? She doesn't just rest on her laurels after the Crimean War.
Not at all. In fact, you could argue that her most impactful work was yet to come. The Crimean War was a turning point, but it was just the beginning of her lifelong crusade to improve healthcare.
In fact, you could say her greatest challenges were yet to come.
That's right. And those challenges weren't on a distant battlefield, but within her own body.
In her 30s, Nightingale became chronically ill, bedridden for much of her later life.
It's a detail that's often glossed over in the history books. But I think it's crucial to understand the impact this had on her life and work.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know what exactly she was suffering from?
The exact nature of her illness remains a mystery. Theories range from brucellosis, a bacterial infection she might have contracted during the war, to chronic fatigue syndrome.
Oh, wow.
Or even post-traumatic stress disorder brought on by her experiences in Scutari.
Wow. Any one of those would be incredibly difficult to cope with.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder how she managed to continue working to achieve so much while battling such a debilitating illness.
And that's the remarkable part. Nightingale refused to let her illness define her ill. Her sick bed became her new headquarters, so to speak.
Okay.
She wrote thousands of letters, published reports, advised government officials, and even designed hospitals all from her room.
It's almost like her physical confinement amplified her mental energy.
Her determination to make a difference. What stands out to you about this period of her life?
I think it's her resilience. Imagine the frustration of having this brilliant mind, this burning desire to change the world, and being trapped within a failing body. Yet she never gave up.
Yeah.
She found ways to adapt, to work around her limitations, to make her voice heard, even when she couldn't physically be present.
It's a powerful lesson for all of us, isn't it?
Absolutely.
The impact isn't limited by physical circumstances, but by the strength of our will, our commitment to a cause.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be honest, there must have been dark moments, times when she doubted herself or felt overwhelmed by her illness.
Absolutely. She was human, after all. In her letters, you catch glimpses of her frustration, her loneliness, her struggle to reconcile her ambitions with the realities of her health.
Right.
But even in those moments of vulnerability, you sense this unwavering determination to keep fighting, to keep pushing for the changes she believed in.
It's both inspiring and heartbreaking, isn't it? To see this woman who had achieved so much, who had faced down war and disease, grappling with her own mortality, her own limitations, it makes her achievements all the more remarkable.
It certainly does. And I think it's important to remember that even heroes have their struggles. Florence Nightingale wasn't just a symbol of selfless service. She was a complex individual navigating the challenges of life just like the rest of us.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one thing you hope our listener takes away from Florence Nightingale's story?
I think it's the understanding that impact can take many forms. Yes, Nightingale was a leader, a reformer, a data pioneer, but she was also someone who found a way to make a difference even when confined to her own home. It's a powerful reminder that each of us has the potential to contribute to change the world, regardless of our circumstances.
That's a beautiful thought. It's like the lamp she carried wasn't just about physical light, but about the light of hope, perseverance, and the unwavering belief in the power of human kindness.
Precisely. And perhaps that's her most enduring legacy, that the lamp she lit continues to shine, inspiring us to make the world a healthier, more compassionate place.
What an inspiring thought to end on. Thank you for joining us on this journey of discovery into the extraordinary life of Florence Nightingale. We hope it sparked a newfound appreciation for her legacy and a desire to learn even more.
It's been a pleasure diving deep with you.
And to all our listeners, until next time, keep those lamps burning.